It is my pleasure to speak to you this morning. Before I do, though, James told me he was going to do this when he thought I ought to quit, and he's already back there doing it. And I was just looking to him to say, James, we have some new people here that's never been here before, and they all need one of those slips to fill out so that the reason we want this, not so that we can bother you, but my wife puts out a newsletter, the pastor puts it out, she types it up, and we mail it to everyone in the church and to everyone who visits. And so we would like for you to have one of our newsletters. And if you'll fill that out, I will put it on the pastor's desk too, and he'll be pleased to have it. As I told you, the pastor is very ill, and the pastor has never missed. Matter of fact, let me read what I wrote first, just teasing Melinda. It is good to be here today, and thank God Carl finally got sick so I could preach. Melinda said, you can't do that, Ron. So I scribbled it out and put, pray for our pastor this morning. He is very sick. He knows that I think that he's almost set the moon so in place. And so that was just a little funny thing. But it's good to be here, and it's good to trust God. I want to ask you something. How many of you like Brussels sprouts? You know, Brussels sprouts, some of you do. Melinda loves them. Brussels sprouts is a tough veggie for me to work through. Although I eat them. If she fixes them, I eat them, and I eat them with a smile. But it's a tough one for me to work through. Now, I love boiled cabbage. And I look at it as it's just a boiled cabbage. But it don't taste the same as a boiled cabbage. The reason I wanted to bring that up is this. We come to church or we don't come to church, we have to eat, don't we? How many of you like a nice thick steak? When my brother-in-law was here for the wedding, I took my daughter and him out to dinner. You know, I got a flash a little bit, so I said, hey, anything you want to eat, you can eat. I'm buying. I didn't think he was going to get the filet mignon. He got the biggest filet mignon they had. I let Melinda buy that one. But we have to have food, don't we? Food makes us grow physically. Now, some of us grow too much. I don't want to embarrass this guy any, but I got my fingers crossed, brother. My brother Jimmy is here. Jimmy, I know this. I want you to stand. John, are you seeing him? I lost 130 pounds. But the reason I wanted to say that is we eat. Some of us are larger than we ought to be, but we still eat. And we eat for so we can stay healthy physically. But we forget about something in life because we think, you know, we think we can do about anything that needs to be done. We think we're strong enough, don't you? I mean, my grandkids used to think I was the strongest man in the world just because I could pick them up and throw them in the air, you know. They didn't see anybody else pick them up and throw them in the air. When something comes along, we feel like we can achieve that. We can get that. We can do that. We can do that. And so there we are. Here's the problem. Let me share with you the problem. We become so sufficient in doing everything for ourselves that we forget that we can't do any of that without God. And the truth in that statement is this, that if you don't get a little bit of food every day, you're going to wither. If you don't get a little bit of food every day, you're going to wither. And you're going to become, instead of being spiritual, you're going to become unspiritual. Now, you're still going to be able to come to church every Sunday. You're still going to be able to do the things that other people do, but you become unspiritual. And when we start fighting that battle with ourselves, listen to me now, when we start fighting that, even though it's in the, you know, we know whether we're sitting back there or up here, we know how we are with God, but we're not letting anybody else know. We're not spreading that rumor around, are we? And we start fighting that battle. I know the battle. I fought it. We start fighting that battle, and before you know it, we forget all about spiritual things. We forget feeding. We forget feeding ourselves the spiritual things in life. A dear lady named Mary in Boise, Idaho, living by herself, 73 years old, asked me to come over and visit her. She went to church and asked me to come over and visit her, and I went over and visited her. Now, this is a sight to behold. Over the kitchen sink, she had thumbtacked or taped verses everywhere. I mean, verses everywhere. And she'd be washing dishes and she'd be memorizing those verses. And in the bathroom, you're right, she had verses everywhere taped around the washing machine. She had verses taped. And I said, Mary, what's with all this, you know? And she said, Ron, I don't want to allow the devil to have any part of my life. And so I am going to recite verses, memorize verses, and do those things for him. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. I want to preach a message that talks about heaven and hell. I want to tell you something. Heaven and hell, heaven or hell, is a choice we all make. I had a dear friend tell me one time, my mama didn't get saved until she was 60. I'm 20. I got 40 years to live and to do anything I want to do, and then when I get 60, I'll get saved. Within 2 weeks, her mama died of a heart attack. Well, she kept thinking, mama was 60, I'll be 60. We don't know, do we? I heard this morning that... Who was that I told you passed away, baby? Is it? Yeah, Carla Morris. Some of you know Carla Morris. Lives right over here about 3 miles, right that way, about 3 miles over there. I worked with Carla's husband for a lot of years, Kenny. If we knew when we would die, we could write our own ticket. We could do anything we wanted to. If you knew when you were going to die, you could become a daredevil and do any kind of daredevil trick you wanted to do, because you know you're not dying yet. You know that's not for me. Jimmy loves to drive those hot rods, or race cars. And if he knew that nothing was going to happen to him when he got in that car and raced, he might have a heavier foot. He has a heavy foot as it is, but he might have a heavier foot. And so you can understand that. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. We have a date set, preset in heaven. Now, I'm not one of those that says God's going to take you on a schedule and he already has that schedule in line. I believe you can push that. I believe you could, if you wanted to, step in front of a freight train and cancel that. And somebody else would say, well, that's just the day God had for him to die. No, I don't believe that. I believe God puts us on this earth to accomplish something for him, to be a spokesman for him, to get saved and to live for him. And when, not necessarily when he's through with us, but he takes us. And when he does, we've already made the choice, heaven or hell. You see, every man, woman, and child is going to have to acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Acts chapter 12, and now I have to do a little bit of stuff here because I put it right on my phone. In Acts chapter 12, it says this. And the reason I wanted it on my phone is there's an explanation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me explain that verse to you. Where it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name, there is no other man, there is no other power, there is no other authority, there is nothing higher than God that says this. And then it says, No other name. And it says, under heaven, under the universe. Everywhere you look, it's the same thing. We are living in a time when people think that if a person goes to church and he's religious, well then, he's going to go on to heaven. It is sad for me to tell you, if I'm the first one that ever told you, that's not going to happen. The other day, Melinda has been going to Clarksville a lot, and her mother's been sick, has pneumonia. Her stepdad has got cancer and he's dying. And she took our little dog with her. Now, some of you have seen our little hairless dog. She took our little hairless dog with her, and her aunt was there, and her aunt sat down and said, you, to the dog, said, you are nothing but a dog. And I said to Melinda, she didn't tell him he was adopted, did she? It's appointed unto man. There is no other authority. There is no other power. That's the way it's going to be. Given among men. Given among men whereby we must be saved. The power of God is real. And we need to recognize and know that. It's a simple truth of salvation that empowers you to be saved. You must make that decision only with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that God has to draw you. You see, God in heaven is real. If you don't want to look in someone's life to see if he's real, because you know what we do? We say, well, oh, so-and-so says he's a Christian. Look what he did last week. Oh, he did something wrong. He failed. He made a mistake. He made a mistake in his eyes. He made a mistake in his eyes. Was it a real mistake? Don't know, but he made a mistake in his eyes. So he can't recognize him as a Christian. The Holy Spirit is real. There's something that all of us need to understand. When we hear that still, small voice of God, that is God trying to speak to you over your rebellion. There's times when God tries to speak to me and I click. I'd rather watch football or do anything else than listen to God at that particular. You know what I'm saying. You've been there. Some of you have been there. And so it's important for us to understand that God is real, that the Holy Spirit is real. And if you are waiting for an angel, for a white dove to bring you a message from heaven, land on your shoulder, whisper in your ear that God is real, good luck. Because that probably is not going to happen. But I tell you what you can do. You can ask God a simple prayer. You can ask God this: Dear God, would you show me through your Holy Spirit what I need to do? Dear God, will you show me through your Holy Spirit how I need to fix this? Dear God, will you show me through your Holy Spirit what I need to do in a situation? And I guarantee you, God will speak to you in a still, small voice and let you know what he wants you to do. The problem is we don't understand. Wait a minute. I'm having all these weird thoughts about what God... Oh, wait, hold it. This is not how I envisioned it to be. Let me tell you a story. Brother Carl and I were talking the other day. We were talking about heaven. Now, some of you are going to... You can tell him this, I don't care. Some of you are going to laugh and some of you are going to say, what? He said, Ronnie, who was right in his office. He says, Ronnie, I'm so ready to go to heaven. I believed in the premillennialist view all my life. But if it's any other way, I'm still ready to go to heaven. I'm still ready to go to heaven. It don't have to be the way I think it ought to be. I just want to go to heaven. And one of these days, we're going to go there. Now, in the beginning, I didn't have you turn to a verse, did I? You're probably wondering what's going on. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. That was my introduction. I'm going to confess. I went to John this morning and I says, John, could you please sing one extra song? Because I'm probably not going to preach long. And so he said, I can do it for you. So he sang that special song that I loved. But the Bible says this in John chapter 14, verse 10. Romans chapter 14. We'll stay with Romans this time. Oh, you thought I tricked you, didn't you? But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We get so nervous about how someone else is living that we forget to understand how we're supposed to live. We get so concerned. Hey, whoa. I'm the world's worst. I'm not picking on you. I'm the world's worst. I said, what are they doing over there? Laura And Logan drove in this morning in Logan's truck, right? And I said, this is Uncle Ron. It's Sunday morning. What's she doing? Oh, yeah, they're married. You see what I'm saying? But I'm so worried. Listen, what God's saying concerning heaven is, John, you can't take your wife. You can only take you. All of us are trying to figure out, how am I going to get so-and-so to heaven? Brother, there's only one way that so-and-so has to say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. And if you're here today and you've never said, yes, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You are the reason that Jesus died on the cross so we can have salvation. He died for me. He died for you. It was the same death. It wasn't a superficial death. It was a real death. People try to get superficial when you talk about spiritual things. Well, you know, hypothetically, forget hypothetically, Jesus died on the cross. But more than died on the cross, Jesus was God's only begotten Son. Yeah, he died on the cross. You're right. He died for us. You're right. We got some new signs up. Matter of fact, the old signs were black letters, am I right? And she put white around them. Well, when we received them, we didn't like them, so we just reordered. And we ordered signs that to have saved people serve people. Save people, serve people. Let me share something with you. What this isn't talking about what we do every day in life. This isn't talking about a cook cooking at a restaurant and serving people. When you talk about saved people, serve people, the thing that is underlined right here is that we are serving people to salvation. Because anything short of salvation is a failure, is not complete. We need to know that salvation is real. If it's real in our heart, it can be real in their heart. And if we're not aggressive as an individual, if you're one of those people that can sit down and watch people jump off into hell, into a fire, then you're one of those people that don't care if anybody goes to heaven or hell. And that's the biggest operation in my life. I want people to go to heaven. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, Whosoever hath life, whosoever hath not... No, wait a minute. Let me start that one over. The Bible says, whosoever hath the Son hath life. Whosoever hath not the Son hath not life. Hell is a real place. I want to take just a couple of minutes and tell you about hell. I don't know. I've never been there, but I've been close to fires and I've been burned. I can show you scars on my body where I've been burned pretty severely as a youth. Crazy, you do crazy things, and a burn hurts, doesn't it? Boy, I'm telling you, if you put your hand on the fire and it's burning you and you don't do anything about it, your hand's going to burn up. Those of you who are biology majors know that you catch a frog and put him in a pan and slide him in the oven and turn the oven on 300, and that pan grows, that it gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, and it finally cooks that frog, but the frog never jumps because the frog never knows it got hot. Crazy. We know it gets hot, don't we? And so I want to talk a little bit about hell. A matter of fact, what I'd like to do is paint a picture. I'm not a very good artist, but I'd like to paint a little picture here and let you be the judge. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles against him, with which he deceived them, that he received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image, these were cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, in the scripture, the lake of fire talks about hell. And over here it says, but the faithful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. It's a one-time plunge. You never get out. The strange thing about it, as I studied this lesson and read a couple of commentaries, they said, you never burn up, but you're always burning. Now, that's a crazy thing. Heaven or hell? I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to make heaven your home and to start preparing for that home today. If you're not a Christian, it's your choice, not your mama's or your daddy's or your grandma or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. It's your choice where you spend eternity. And today can be the day of your salvation. Shall we stand?